that ever lived. Super Bowl 54 is important to some people, but the game I'm talking about is a really big deal. In fact, it's the most important game of your life, whether you know it or not. It is the fiercest contest in history. It's a battle between the greatest teams in the universe, between the best of the best and the worst of the worst. And here's why, where the battle is fought. It's not fought in Miami. It's not fought on a football field. It takes place in the hearts of men and women. Today I'm talking about the fight between good and evil. You can't help but notice there's evil all around us, right? All you have to do is turn on the news. Sometimes all you have to do is walk out the front door. When my wife and I first moved to Goldsboro, we walked out of the front door of our apartment and a woman had been shot in our parking lot right where we lived. There is evil all around us. And the battle between good and evil has been going on for a long time. On one side of the field, you got the bad guys. Their quarterback's the devil. There are many different names in the Bible to describe the devil. He's called Lucifer, Satan, the deceiver, the adversary, and the father of lies. The important thing that you need to know about the devil is that he does exist and he is the enemy of your soul. C.S. Lewis said the greatest trick the devil played was to convince the world he doesn't exist. The devil doesn't want us to know he's real. Why? Because if we don't think the devil exists, we blame all the bad stuff on God. Too many people have the wrong idea about God. God doesn't do bad things to people to teach them a lesson. Pastor, how do you know that? Because Jesus said that. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. God loves you. He cares for you. He wants to bless you. On one side of the field, you got the bad guys. On the other side, you've got the good guys. You got Team God. You have God, the angels, and the saints. And I'm not talking about New Orleans. When I say saints, I'm talking about Christians. Real, real Christians, y'all. Not people who play church. People who actually follow Jesus. Because here's the thing. Not everybody who goes to church on Sunday is really a Christian. Did y'all know that? Jesus said there are some who are and some who ain't. And he's not going to separate the two till he comes again. There's always going to be people playing church, but I'm talking about the real ones who are on his team. Not everybody who goes to church is really a believer. One day in a small country church, people were sitting in the service, and all of a sudden, there was a cloud of smoke that filled the auditorium, and Satan stepped in and stood right in front of everybody. Everybody jumped up screaming and yelling, and they all ran out of that little church except one old man on the third row. And he walked up and he said, don't you know who I am? He said, yeah, I know who you are. He said, aren't you afraid of me? I ain't afraid of you. Why aren't you afraid of me? Because I've been married to your sister for 35 years. Not everybody who goes to church acts like Jesus. You can go to church on Sunday, but that doesn't make you a Christian. Just like you can stick your head in a freezer, that doesn't make you a popsicle. You can put your hand in a Bojangles box, but that doesn't make it a biscuit. If you want to be a Christian, you got to actually follow Jesus. Amen? Think about it. There's a lot of people wearing football jerseys in here today. That'll mean we're playing football tonight. Y'all know what I'm saying? I mean, I look like a football player, but 30 years after retirement doing cholesterol commercials. You know what I'm saying? When you see somebody wearing an NFL jersey, that doesn't mean they're actually on the team. During the Super Bowl, there will be 22 men on the field in desperate need of rest and 70,000 fans in the stand in desperate need of exercise. Just because you're wearing the colors doesn't mean you're playing for the team. So it's not enough to wear the team jersey. It's not enough to look like a Christian and talk like a Christian. You actually have to be one. There are two teams in this fight. How many?
Two.
Two teams. Not three, not four, not five. Just two. There's God's team and the devil's team. I know we live in a pluralistic society. We live in a culture where people say all religions are the same and All paths lead to God, but all teams don't lead to the Super Bowl. Can I say that again? All teams don't lead to the Super Bowl. God has one quarterback and one quarterback only, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way to God. Nothing more and nothing less than Jesus. Come on, tell somebody, it's Jesus. Well, the devil has plenty of counterfeit religions out there, but the Word of God tells us that Jesus is the only way. Bible says in Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Here's a wonderful thing about Jesus. You see, religion is man's attempt to find God. But Christianity is about God himself coming down in the person of Jesus Christ to find us. Religion is about what you can do, but Christianity is about what Jesus already did. Bible says in Romans 5:8, one of my favorite Bible verses, God demonstrates his own love toward us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were at our worst, God loved us enough to give his best for you and me. Isn't that wonderful? Three reasons why life is like the Super Bowl. Number one, there are only two teams. Number two, only one team will win. How many of y'all are pulling for the Chiefs? Okay, six of you. How many of you are pulling for the 49ers? Okay, nine of you. Everybody else is unaffiliated. All right. I hate to break it to you, but no matter who you're pulling for, somebody's going to lose tonight. Some of you, your team's going to win, and the rest of you will be losers. That's just how it goes. Why? Because there can only be one winner of the Super Bowl. There will be no tie. Mark my words, somebody's going to win. Somebody's going to lose. And it's the same way with God and the devil. Only one side will win. And I will give you a hint today. It won't be the devil's side. Oh, sure, the enemy will attack you. He will tackle. He will intercept passes. Because we still have an enemy. And we still have to fight. But in the end, he will not win. Jesus said, we read it earlier, in the world you will have tribulation, so you're going to take some hits on the field, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. In other words, Jesus wins. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I love Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? It doesn't matter how many people come against you. It doesn't matter how many ways the devil attacks you. God plus you equals a majority. And if God is for you, nobody else can stand against you. Bible says just a few verses down, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. There is only one winning team, and that's Team Jesus. Now, I told you I had a short message. I want to ask the musicians to come. I'm already at point number three. We're going to beat the Baptist to the buffet today. Three things, the Methodist to the McCall's, however you want to look at it. Three things you need to know about life. One, there are two teams. Two, only one team will win. And number three, this is very important, the game will soon be over. Many of you will leave here today, you'll go home or you'll go to a restaurant or a friend's house and you'll watch the game and you'll shout, you'll cheer, you'll yell at the TV, you'll pray for the referee to regain his sight. But it's only a matter of time before the game is over. I believe that we're living in the last days. We're in the fourth quarter of history and God has issued the 2-minute warning. Time is almost up. Every major prophecy of the Bible has been fulfilled, and we know that Jesus is coming back soon. And what's more, we never know when our own last day will come. We never know when we'll pass from this life into the next. When I was 33 years old, I had a brain aneurysm rupture, and I nearly died at 33. We never know when we're going to pass from this life into eternity. And I hope for you that that happens a long, 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 long time from now. But it could happen today. We never know. We have no promise of tomorrow. Today I need to ask you the all-important question, whose team are you on? Do you belong to God? Do you know that you're saved? There are only two teams, and I tell you the truth, you're either one or the other, because there is no neutral ground in the kingdom of God. Jesus said a bold statement in Matthew chapter 12. He said, if you're not with me, you're against me. And if you're not sure you're on the right team, you can be sure today. Listen, joining God's team is easy. In fact, it's a whole lot easier to join God's team than to play for the devil's team. Romans chapter 6 says this, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you know that today on Super Bowl Sunday, you have an opportunity to be a champion, to be a part of God's team? The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. It doesn't mean that you won't have problems. What it does mean is that you won't have to face those problems alone anymore. Did you know the value of something is determined by whose hands it's in? Listen, a football in my hands is worth $10. The football in the hands of Magic Mahomes is worth $10 million. You want to know how valuable you are? Put your life in God's hands. God can do more with your life than you could ever do on your own. Trust your life to Him and He'll change you. He'll give you a hope and He'll give you a future. Listen, none of us are worthy on our own. So many people tell me, well, Pastor, I'll come to church when I stop smoking weed, when I stop drinking, when I stop clubbing, when I stop sleeping around. They give me this laundry list of things that they want to clean up before they come to God. But that's not how God works. You come to Him just the way you are and let Him change you and let Him set you free and let Him transform you into who He wants you to be. I want to take a survey this morning really briefly. How many of you today have ever driven over the speed limit? Will you just be real honest and raise your hand? Oh, got a lot of Ricky Bobbies in the house today. How many of you, maybe when you were a kid, but how many of you have ever stolen something? Will you raise your hand? All right, ushers, watch them when we take up the offering, okay? That was my history. I remember back in kindergarten, I was a lunchroom bandit. Boy, during nap time, I'd clean out everybody's desk. I'd have so many quarters, my shorts be falling down. But then I got saved and God changed me. Last question. How many of you have ever told a lie? Will you be honest and raise your hand? Okay, liars, liars, pants on fire. Okay, if you answered yes to any of those three questions, will you just lift your hand up and hold it up? Guys, look around. Okay, we got a whole lot of people who have messed up this morning. We're all road breakers. We've all failed in some way. Thank you. And that proves what the Bible says. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means that none of us can get to heaven on our own. I heard a story about when Muhammad Ali was on a flight. They were preparing for takeoff, and the flight attendant came to him and said, sir, you have to fasten your seatbelt. And he said to her, Superman don't need no seatbelt. And the flight attendant said, sweetie, Superman don't need no airplane. Salvation is the same way. We can't do this on our own, but it's a good thing we don't have to. The Bible says, by grace we have been saved through faith. And it is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Amen. God saves us not because of anything we've done. He saves us not because we're great, but because He is great and His love for us is great. Amen. Salvation is a free gift to all who would receive it. The Bible says that when you trust your life to Jesus, you become a child of God. You have the gift of eternal life. Nobody can overcome sin on their own, but Jesus came to break the power of sin. Will you stand with me? Well, actually, you can remain seated while we pray. Just close your eyes for a moment as we pray. If you've never trusted Jesus, or maybe you're not serving God like you know you should, I want to lead you in a simple prayer to help you put your faith in Him today. Will you pray this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Jesus, I trust you. I believe in you. Thank you for loving me. Come into my life. Change me. Make me brand new. And with your help, I'll live for you the rest of my life. Now I want to ask everyone here today who's made the decision to follow Jesus, whether this is your first day as a Christian or you've been a believer for decades, will you stand up and let everybody know you belong to Jesus this morning? Can we celebrate that today? Can we celebrate tonight? Millions of people will be cheering for football, but let's celebrate that we've been saved from our sins, that we've been set free. If you've made the decision to trust Jesus, you've made the greatest decision of your lifetime. Come on, let's just praise God this morning. Lord, we thank you for victory. We thank you for freedom. You are the way maker. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. You are the light in the darkness. We praise you, God. Come on, let's sing that one.